Timothy, we will come to you again with another edition of the Word of the King. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 4 tells us where the Word of the King is, there is power. Who may say unto him, what doest thou? In this edition of the Word of the King, we have Brother Kenny Wolfgang bringing forth a message. And I just now would like to open up in a word of prayer before we give it over to Brother Kenny, and I pray you get blessed by this edition of the Word of the King. Father, in Jesus' name, we want to thank you, dear Lord God, again for the testimony of your grace and saving Brother Kenny Wolfgang and Lord God, as listeners, dear Lord God, listen to this edition of the Word of the King, this message you have laid on Brother Kenny's heart. May your spirit, I pray, minister, saved and unsaved alike, for your honor, for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. And now I hand it over to Brother Kenny.
Amen, and we want to thank you, Brother Tim. And want to say that I am honored for this opportunity to bring another word here at the Word of the King. And, Brother Tim, get your Bible along with all you listeners. Get your KJV. As we get ready to bring the message that God has laid upon my heart, how goes your study? How goes your study? Now, the reason for the message is at this present time, God has my wife Ruth starting into college. And if you look on the internet right now, Ruth, you're going to love this. All students in any school on the internet, there's a website, Bring Your Bible, I think it's Bring Your Bible, or yeah, bringyourbible.org, I think is what it is. They're encouraging on October 10th, 2017, for all students, as some sort of, I guess it's a thing, some Christian organization, Tim, you might know about this, about the students to show their belief in God's Word. Their stand on the book. Well, that's all nice and fine. But how many, just because they have the book, now some will have the NIV, Nutty Idiots Vomit. Some will have the Awful Satanic Vomit. The Rotten Awful Satanic Vomit. And all those other horrible puke comic books. But how many have the King Jesus version? Or King Jesus is Victor? You know? How many have the King Jesus Victor Bible? Amen? The King James version. The 1611, the authorized version. Who's going to walk in there with that? Most of them's going to have something else because they say, well, you know, this other version is, well, easier to understand. Well, you don't have no problem with Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou Romeo? Well, you had no problem with that, but when you see the these and thous of the King James, you say you got a problem with it. Well, I got a problem with you. Amen. So, let me say, how goes your study? So, as we get ready to read the Word tonight, let's find out by asking that very question. And throughout the Scripture, we find that there were some people that showed how their study was, and some that were posed that question, if you will. First, let's look in.
What's the first one?
Okay. Tim, we want you to read for us. You're going to be our reader tonight here, being the host of the show. We'll give you that honor. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, a very well-known verse. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Amen.
Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Amen. Now, you notice here, it did not say, study to show thyself approved, a preacher or pastor that needs not be ashamed. But how many of us treat that verse as if it did say the pastor, the song leader, that needs not be... No, wait a minute. We're talking about you, the layman on the pew. We're talking about you. It says the workman that needs not be ashamed. If you are blood-bought, born again, if you claim the name of Jesus Christ, you're a workman in his vineyard. It says, a workman that needs not be, notice that key word, ashamed. The question is, are you going to be ashamed? Well, when are you going to be ashamed? When you're put, your physical body is 6 feet under, your soul is taken up, and you stand at the judgment seat of Christ. One of the things I believe he's going to ask you is what you did, and he's going to ask you, how goes your study? He's going to want to know what you did with his word. He's going to want to know how you treated his word. He's going to know. Well, let's see how one group of people treated his word. A very familiar group in the Bible. They were called the Bereans. The Berean Christians. We find them in the book of Acts, chapter 17, verses 10 through 14. Acts chapter 17, verses 10 through 14. Acts chapter 17, verses 10 through 14. Brother Tim.
And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea. And coming thither, went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached to Paul of Berea, they came thither also and stirred the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go as it were to the sea, but Silas and Timotheus abode there still.
Somebody's got to be a troublemaker. When you read the first 9 verses of chapter 17, we find that Paul and those folks went over there to Thessalonica. And what happened? They preached the word. There were some who believed. They went to the synagogue, they preached, and they showed the word of God. Some believed, but most of them started having this uproar and saying, well, they're preaching against Moses and the law and blah, 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 blah. Somebody's got to raise up an uproar, you know. So Paul and them got out of town, so to speak. They go over to Berea. Now these folks were more honorable, it says. And how was it that they were more honorable, does it say? I always like to picture this. I love picturing this. Now, mind you, we're talking about the apostle Paul and these other apostles come to town. They walk into the synagogue and they ask to get a chance to speak. And the guys say, sure, go ahead, tell us what you want to say. They get up there, they open up the book, and they start talking about how that the Old Testament scriptures show Jesus in the Bible and show that Jesus was supposed to be prophesied that he would come and die and raise again and all of that. Well, what do these Bereans do? They say, that's interesting. Okay, Paul. Okay, you guys. I'm going to modernize it for some of you listeners. Thanks for telling us. Now, would you mind going down to the little hotel? Go down here to the Motel 6. You know, Tom Baudet left the light on for you. Go down there. Tom Baudet left the light on for you. Just go down there. We'll catch you tomorrow. So the apostles go down there. We'll check you out tomorrow, but we got something to do here. Well, what's that? We got to check this out for ourselves. We want to see what the book said ourselves. We want to see what the book said. Not what you just said. We want to verify what you just said. So these guys stay back. They stay back at the synagogue, and they start searching it cover to cover to verify. Well, when they got all done, they stayed there all day checking this out. The guys come back from the Motel 6 next day. And they said, well, what do you think? Yeah, that's pretty good. Now tell us some more. So they tell them some more. And they said, oh, good. Thanks for telling us. Now go back over there. The Tom Baudet still left the light on for you. We'll check you out tomorrow. So they do. And they kept coming back and kept coming back. And no matter what the apostles told them, they went back to the book and checked it out. They had a standard, and what was that standard? It was the book. It was not what the apostles told them. It was the book. There are people out there right now, they sit in the pew, and they listen to what their pastor said, because, oh, well, my pastor went to college. Oh, he got a doctorate. Well, where did he get his doctorate? Oh, well, he went to college and his professor told him. Well, where did his professor learn his stuff? Well, because he went to college and he got it from his professor. Well, where did that professor get it? Well, he went to college and got it from his professor. Well, where did he get it? Oh, well, that professor went to college and got it from his professor. Don't you remember Jesus called it something like this? Traditions of men? Did any of those go to the book and search it daily to see where they got it? Did any of those men actually search it cover to cover and verify what they're learning is nothing but the book? The book, the whole book, and nothing but the book? So help them, Jesus? These Bereans did. They didn't care what the apostles, they weren't worried about the apostle. They were worried about the book. And so the apostles were saying they were more honorable than the men at Thessalonica because they were saying, these guys checked it out. But then, notice this. Who comes hearing about it? The people at Thessalonica. Oh, man. Oh, they're over there in Berea here in the Word of God. So let's go over there and stir up some mess. Isn't that the way it always is? When you're trying to do something for God, somebody's going to stir up some trouble. So they come over and start trying to stir up some stuff. And so they said, okay, we'll leave a couple men behind, Timotheus, which is Timothy, And they said, left him behind, and another guy there. Left them behind, but they sent Paul and said, you best get out of here before with your hide while you got the chance. But these Bereans were still doing what they had been doing all along, checking out the book. And that's why they were more honorable. Now, Tim, you're going to love this verse, but I'm going to ask you, when I got my first Bible, right after I was called to preach and I went to college, there was a preacher there who gave me one of my first real super giant print Bibles. He ordered it for me and got it. It was a 24 print Bible, point print Bible. And he inscribed in the front of this Bible a verse. I bet you'll never guess what that verse was. Take a guess.
You bet I'll never guess what it is, eh?
I bet you'll never guess. I'll give you a chance to get a guess at it.
Could it be the very same verse we just read from Acts 17?
Wrong. I'll give you the verse. It is
2 Timothy, am I right?
I believe it's Rich giving it to me here. Okay, 1 Timothy. I want you to go here, Tim. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20 is what he actually inscribed in the front of that Bible as a dedication. And I want you to read this and see what you see there. Amen.
O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called.
Ooh. Now, what was that verse trying to tell you? That verse is telling you, first of all, keep what? Well, Timothy, Paul is telling Timothy, well, I'm going to leave you some poetry books. So I want you to hold on to them. Nope. Timothy, I'm leaving you a couple of crates of nice robes that I want you to hold on to me for me. No. I want you to hold on to a couple hundred dollars, put it aside for me. I might need it for a rainy day. I don't think so. He's saying, keep that which is committed to your trust. He's talking about the Bible, the Word of God. The most important thing, Tim, that you can keep, which is committed to your trust, that Jesus wants you to keep, which is committed to your trust, is the KJV. And when God put that in your hand, and He called you to preach, He would expect you to study that book and to keep it, not going around and compromising what that book had to say. There's going to be people out there who are going to, as it says, they're going to give you vain babblings. They're going to come up with all kinds of stuff. Oh, well, we've got to go back to the original Hebrew. And you can't have a right relationship with God unless you call Him only by His name, Yeshua. And talk all this Hebrew stuff. We know what group we're talking about. Or if you don't do your la 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 ma 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 pa 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 stuff and got the Holy Ghost, you ain't saved. We know who that group is. Well, that ain't what you keep committed to your trust. Isn't it interesting that Timothy is told by Paul to keep one thing to his trust? And it's not tongues. It's not the Hebrew language. It's not doing communion. It's not worshiping Mary. Amen. It is the Bible. He is told to stand on the word and keep it. And then it goes on to say, and watch out for the opposition of science falsely so called. Why? Because even back then, there were people who called themselves scientists who did not really believe in true science. Not the real stuff where they were investigating what God was doing and give God the glory. What they were doing is getting into all this astrology bunk, getting into all kinds of junk of not looking at the stars. Okay, when you read Genesis chapter 1, it says that the stars were given to us for days and for years. It said, and as you continue to read that, it says, and for signs, and for days, and for years, and for seasons, and for signs. Now, when you go down the road, and you see a stop sign, or a no parking sign, is it wrong to read that sign? No. But if you bow down and worship a stop sign, there's a problem with it. Yeah. Big time. There's nothing wrong with looking at the signs and understanding them from a scientific standpoint to understand why God put those stars up there and understand that there was a creator who knew what he was doing and knew what he was doing when he did it. But to bow down to those, to bow down to those signs and to worship the sun and to worship the moon and to worship the stars, that's wrong. When you worship the host of heaven, that's astrology. That is what's wrong. But when you are just looking at the sky and you say, okay, the sun rises in the east, goes down in the west, so that obviously means the earth is round. And you have a stick on the ground and you see the way the shadow moves, you know that obviously the ground must be not flat. That's science. And you could tell the difference in the length of that shadow on different parts of the year. You know that the earth must be round. That's plain out science. But to worship the sun when it's nothing more than a fireball in the sky, just an average star, like any other star, to sit there and bow down and worship it when it's just a created body in the sky is totally nuts. The Bible said it was put there for a purpose. Jesus put it up there to give us light and warmth. That's all it's there for. It's not there to be worshipped. It was there to be the greater light, to rule over the day, to give us light. That's what it means by rule over the day, to give us light by day. And the moon was there to give us light, or to rule over the night, to give us light by night. That's all it's for. Not to doesn't mean the word rule there doesn't mean, okay, we got to worship it because it's got some special powers. And that if you were born on a certain day on the rising of the moon, that this means you've got, get over it. You don't believe that junk? Go in any astrology thing, take off all the those categories like Capricorn, blah, blah, blah. Mark that out. Go get your average thing out of Time magazine and find the astrology, horrorology, I like to call it, out of Time magazine, and then go get one out of your local paper and do the same thing, and you'll find that they have the same horror scopes, and it looks like that they're just generalized garbage. There ain't really, and most of them could fit anybody on any given day, okay? But they don't mean diddly. They don't mean beans, okay? So they ain't nothing, okay? It's junk. That's what he was talking about, science so-called, falsely so-called. And he was saying, what you need to keep isn't that junk. You need to keep the book, like the Bereans did. Stand on it. They went daily. The question is, how goes your study? Are you opening the book cover to cover and reading it? Or are you taking at face value what your pastor said? Well, where did he get it? I ask you again, where did he get his information? Oh, well, he read his Bible. But where does he get his interpretation of what that Bible says? Does he really get it from the Bible, or did he get his interpretation from what he was taught at college? Well, if he got it from what he was taught at college, then where did his professor get it? See, is it a tradition of men, or is it got it from where he studied that book cover to cover, and can he give you more than one verse? Can he stand on it and give it to you cover to cover and say, no, this ain't a tradition that I was handed for college. This is what I got cover to cover, and I could take you from cover to cover and show you this is the book. Amen. Now, let me give you one thing to think on. Jesus said, he didn't say part of the word is important. He said, when he was being tempted by the devil, he said to the devil, every word. He said to that devil, when he was tempted, he said, every word. Every word. He said, don't mess with this. It's every word. And then he went on to say, every jot and every tittle shall not pass away. He said, it would pass away, but my words will never pass away. Now, most people need to catch this. You go into the originals on that, it's like saying in the, what would be in our English language, it's right down to the commas and the periods, okay? That's what I believe what he's talking about. Right in our English language, in your KJV, it would be the commas and the periods, right down to the punctuation, buddy. I believe what God was saying is, don't mess with my word. I put the commas and the periods right where I wanted them. And then to hear somebody like Tim was talking about earlier, oh, well, there weren't capital letters in the Bible. Well, wait a minute. I believe that later, when he got the King James translators to put the capital letters in there, I believe they knew what they were doing, when they were doing it, and how they were doing it. So don't mess with God's Word. Now, why do I believe that? Okay, I'm going to take you to a very familiar passage as we get ready to come to a very quick close. Okay? Very familiar passage. Here's why I believe this. Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19 tell us there's some serious consequences when you mess with God's word. Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19. All right, Tim.
For I testify unto every man that heareth me, according to the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, from the things which are written in this book.
Ouch. Some serious, serious, very, very serious consequences. You notice, he says, if you take away, he's basically saying in simple English, I'm going to make that very simple for you. I don't think you're really saved in the first place. Because he says he's taking your name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Obviously, you weren't saved in the first place or your name wouldn't be there. So, that's why. You mess with God's Word, you're not getting in. You're not getting in. Don't fool with His Word. Don't fool with God's Word. Don't fool with it. And if you add, he's going to add some junk to you that you don't want. You're going to be in some serious hot water. Literally. Think of the plagues that were in that Bible. You go to the Old Testament, look, he wrote a plague of locusts, frogs and stuff. And then in the New Testament, fire from heaven. I mean, there's some pretty bad stuff. Not to mention the illness plagues that were there. Phew! Can you imagine that? I don't think I'd want all that on me. I'm going to say that warning very simple. Don't fool with His Word. It's better to study His Word. Now, Ruth, you know what I'm talking about. Tim, you know what I'm talking about because you've been to college. I've been there already. But Ruth, you know what I'm talking about. This is your second round going back to college before you had another degree thing that you went for. Now you're going for a computer thing, hopefully to help the ministry. But you know what I'm talking about. You go there. The professor gives you a book. You open that book. Now you don't go in there, get your textbook. You don't go and add to that textbook your own opinions. No, you get that textbook, you're supposed to open it, and you're supposed to read it, and then when they give you an assignment, you're supposed to, all you're supposed to do is give the answers to the question the professor gives you. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to answer the questions according to what's written in that textbook. You don't answer the questions to, I'll give you a question. Question out of your own textbook, Ruth. What is an all-in-one computer? Your answer is it doesn't have a tower. It's all in one piece. Well, you sure as the devil wouldn't be saying it's a handheld PC that flips open. No! You wouldn't say it's a handheld PC that flips open with a lid that you carry in a case. That's called a laptop. Okay? You wouldn't say that. Or you wouldn't say it's a digital thing that you carry in your hand and sometimes it rings. Better known as a smartphone. A smartphone can be called an all-in-one computer. No. An all-in-one computer is a desktop-type computer where all the components are built into one cabinet. Okay? That's what your textbook said it is, and that's supposed to be your answer to the question. Right. Well, but you sure the devil wouldn't write down that it's for the multiple choice, you wouldn't pick letter A, that a smartphone is a all-in-one computer. or my Trekker is an all-in-one computer. You wouldn't write that because it would be a false statement, okay? Now, but some people might try that, okay? Well, that's what they're doing with God's Word when they add to His Word by saying, well, this, this, and this, or they take away from His Word by saying such and such. No. God's Word, you don't tamper with it. It's like your textbook in college. You open it up, you read what it says. When God says, okay, when He said in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 7, He said that there would be, when there was a change of the priesthood, there was also a necessity of the change of the law. Okay? What was He talking about? He was not talking about doing away with the whole complete Old Testament law and pitch it out. Okay, well, that's Old Testament. As some people like to do, they like to take the Old Testament, chop it off at the end of Malachi and say, well, any of that Old Testament stuff, we do it. No, you don't do away with it. Thou shalt not kill still stands in the New Testament as it did the Old Testament. The Old Testament moral law still stands. What Jesus did away with on the cross was the Old Testament ceremonial law. So, in short, simple terms, we don't have to go over there and sacrifice bulls and goats and calves. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained the eternal redemption for us. Hebrews 9:12. That's what it said. Once He died, He did it once for all. Hello, charismatics. Hello, Benny Hinn. Benny Sin. And all the rest of you. And you Catholic Pope that think you got to go back and over it again with your cracker, or your little wafer, and your trans, all that garbage. Once for all. Done. Thank God, once saved, always saved. Amen. Let me tell you, right now, as we get ready to turn this over to Brother Tim, I know he's going to take, and he always does this, he's going to take and show you how that, yes, we as sinners can't live up to that law, but yet there is grace. Remember, how goes your study? Well, one thing in that study, it'll show you when you study it. None of us could live up to that law. But Jesus, by grace, will save any sinner out there. I'm going to close in a word of prayer for this part of the Word of the King as we turn it over to Brother Tim. And then we're going to hand it back to him. Lord Jesus, we thank You, Lord, that Your Word tells us to study Your Word in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering doctrine. A lot of people think that's just for preachers. But You also told us, Lord, as we started this journey, You told us to study to show Thyself approved unto God. A workman that needs not be ashamed. But Lord, that's not just for preachers. That's for every man, woman, boy, and girl. Help us to be like the Bereans, Lord, so that we could stand before You on Judgment Day without being ashamed, knowing that, Lord Jesus, we were able to rightly divide Your Word and Your truth, knowing that Your Word is our final authority. Lord Jesus, we ask now for that one soul who is nearest hell, that as Tim gives the truth found in the Word about Your law and how that we can never live up to that, Lord, that they would reel up that white flag and surrender and say, I yield, I yield. Lord, we ask all this in Your name, Jesus. Amen. All right, Brother Tim, we're turning it back into Your hands. Amen.
Thank you, Brother. Brother Kenny, for that message. Dear listener, I want to remind you, the Word of God declares in Revelation 21:8 that the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall be apart in the lake which burneth fire and brimstone. The Word of God declares, thou shalt not kill. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. The Word of God makes it clear. Jesus said, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Ungodly hatred. Unholy hatred in your heart towards your brother, towards your neighbor. God equates it with murder in the heart. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Jesus said, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not steal. The Word of God declares that covetous thieves shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, the Word of God declares. Jesus said it like this. It is written, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. What is your God tonight, listener? Jesus said, speaking of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Peter in Acts 4:12 said it like this, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, that name of Jesus. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Honor thy father and thy mother. What God declares, disobedience to parents, sin. Word of God declares, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless and taketh his name in vain. Using the name of God, using the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as a curse word, using it lightly, flippantly when joking around with your friends, it's blasphemy, it's sin. God says you do it just once, you'll not be found guiltless. You'll be guilty, it's charged. Worthy of the damnation of hell. Oh, but God commendeth his love toward us. I'm so thankful. But God commendeth his love toward us. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we should be saved from wrath through him. Fifth, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we should be saved by his life. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made of salvation. For the wages of sin is death, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Is your name in the book of life today, sinner? If not, it can be, but only by faith in Jesus Christ and him alone. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, it saves. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace ye are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, any man should boast. Call upon it, sinner. Confess that you've sinned. That the best you can offer God is his filthy rags. Confessing knowledge, you're on your way to hell. Tell God that you believe, you know by faith Jesus died for you, rose from the dead the third day. Ask the Lord to come into your heart, save you, forgive you of your sin. And God, according to the promise of his word, will be faithful, sinner, to save and to keep you. This has been another edition of the Word of the King. Till next time, God bless you and yours.